This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
The night Hanukkah Harry saved Christmas.
On Moisha, on Herschel, on Shlomo, says Hanukkah Harry, eight nights a year. On Moisha, on Herschel, on Shlomo, means that Hanukkah Harry is here.
Hanukkah Harry is here to give you a present from the Winnipeg Jets organization under your tree. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're live here on TSN Radio 1290. This was our Illegal Curve question of the day. We wanted to hear from you. What could the Jets organization put under your tree that would make you a happy little boy or girl come Christmas time? A lot of responses coming in. We have a couple of responses related that maybe they're not in the holiday season or in the spirit of the holiday season. They want to see some changes to the coaching staff, some changes to the front office setup. We have some comments coming in that somebody wants to see a 24-year-old Blake Wheeler on an 8-year team-friendly contract. That's a pretty funny one. I like that one. Comments coming in via Twitter. Via text message.
When Blake Wheeler was 24, I don't even think he was on the Atlanta Thrashers at that point.
He was still probably a rookie.
Bruins organization.
Somebody wants to see Line A on the top line for Christmas. I think there's more than one person who probably wants to see
that
happen.
Yeah.
Matthew Perreault's hair back. Somebody wants to see Matthew Perreault get that flowing hair back. So a lot of comments coming in. We want to keep seeing those coming at Illegal Curve. You can also text them to us, 1290.90. Standard messaging rates do apply. That's, of course, all coming from the Odd Shark inbox presented by Odd Shark, your source for the latest odds from leading authorities. Find your edge at oddshark.net. So, gentlemen, that same question directed to you now. You know, you lit your menorah. Hanukkah's over, but for the sake of argument, yeah, there's still a couple days left. Let's say, what is under your Hanukkah menorah that's from the Winnipeg Jets organization?
We're doing Christmas, Drew. We had our eight nights. We're doing Christmas here.
We're an egalitarian show here. We're willing to accommodate anybody.
Absolutely. I mean,
Kwanzaa, if that's your thing.
Yeah,
you know,
we celebrate everything. But
well, don't forget about Festivus.
Christmas is coming up next. But listen, we have to use tangible items here, right? And for me, it's a crisp, brand new Patrick Laine reverse retro jersey with an 8-year contract taped to it. That's what I am giving.
So you're so greedy that not only do you want the contract, but you want the jersey too.
Well, it has to be something, you know.
Somebody's going to have to dig deep for their kids in the holiday season.
A Patrick Laine 8-year contract, to me, there couldn't be anything better for Jets fans with all of the rumors we heard, you know, 2 or 3 months ago. I mean, I think Jets fans deserve that. And that's something that I think it has to be one of the big storylines going into training camp here, guys, coming up in, you know, a couple of weeks. You know, Patrick Laine obviously has the potential to play on the first line. So we're going to see, you know, if Paul Maurice, you know, going into the beginning part of the season, if Patty Laine is going to get a shot on the first line. But, you know, we know that even if he isn't on the first line, we know that Paul Stastny, Nikolai Ehlers, and Laine formed a really good line, Dave, back in 2018. So I wouldn't get too fixated on that, even though you guys know that I am a proponent of Laine being on that top line.
And, yep.
You know, looking at, you know, reading Murat's article, you know, you looked at the chemistry, you know, between Patrick Laine and Kyle Connor on the power play. I'd have no problem with, you know, Connor, Scheifele, Laine as your top line. But, you know, that's got to be something for me. And then the obvious one is obviously, you know, health. Because what the Jets went through last year with their injuries, and that includes that qualification round against the Flames, you just hope that the Jets get some better luck this year, you know, with health. And that's something that you obviously wish upon all NHL teams, but, you know, that would be something for me, you know, that would be nice for Jets fans to get under the Christmas tree, knowing that especially, you know, some of the, you know, higher end talent players on the Jets are going to be able to be, you know, healthy and, you know, with everything that went on with Brian Little last year and that terrible injury against the Devils to his eye, you know, perforated eardrum, I should say, you know, that was an awful injury. So, you know, health would be a nice thing, and that goes for all of our listeners as well. We hope that everybody's happy and healthy throughout the holiday season and, you know, going forward. But, yeah, it has to be, you know, that contract for Patty Laine, just knowing that he's going to be a member of the Jets organization long-term. That's got to be number one for me.
Dave?
Well, I mean, I have to agree with Ezzie. I think that is –
for sure what most fans are looking for is that line A to be locked up. I think that, you know, the talk of a player of his nature not being on the team, you know, after this year is causing a lot of fans to lose heart. I think that's partly one, but I don't need to expand on that because as he did already. And I think the other one probably for a lot of Jets fans is hope that there will be no more second pairing left side defenseman talk. hope that either Ville Heinola or Dylan Sandberg are able to, you know, assume that role out of training camp, take it on, play admirably, and most importantly, you know, quash the talk of that, because I think, you know, and we talk about it, you know, we hear about this stuff, whether it's on the website or on our radio show, that second pairing defenseman has been such a point of contention now for so long. So I think, you know, provided one of those two, potentially those two young guys can rise up and assume that role, that'll probably be a very nice Christmas gift for a lot of fans.
It certainly will be. And echoing Ezzie's comments, of course, we do want to extend our best in the holiday season to everybody in the audience. But we'll do that more formally towards the end of the show. That's so lots of texts, lots of tweets coming in on that topic. We appreciate them. Keep them coming at Illegal Curve on Twitter by 12:90:90 via text message. Facebook and Instagram posts, your texts, your tweets, we find them in the Odd Shark inbox. And remember, oddshark.net is your source for the latest odds from leading authorities, expert editorial content, and detailed matchup picks. Find your edge at oddshark.net. When we come back, more on the return to play protocols, more on the agreement between the NHL and the NHLPA. The agreement, of course, pending acceptance by both sides. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Moving forward, the NHL's preference continues to be to open the season in all 31 buildings, including all 7 Canadian arenas. But what if that can't happen? Well, they'd have to resort to some other alternatives. One could be playing the season in a hub city, or the other less desirable option would be to move all 7 Canadian clubs south of the border for the 2021 season.
That's our good friend, TSN senior hockey reporter Frank Saravelli, talking about the return to play. And, of course, the big question still to be determined, where will the Canadian teams play? Can they reach agreement with the various provincial health authorities to allow for the free travel between jurisdictions? We'll find that out. They're meeting apparently more today, so they're going to work on that all weekend long, undoubtedly. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're live here on TSN Radio 1290. This segment of the show brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Now you're probably saying, Drew, how can you purchase tickets for performers and there's no showtimes? What's wrong? Have you gone back in time? Have you gone to a pre-COVID or a post-COVID world? And unfortunately, I haven't, but what Rumors is doing is Zoom comedy nights every Friday night. They're selling them out, so tickets are going very quickly. Zoom, the best in stand-up comedy delivered to your living room via Zoom. Tickets available at rumorscomedyclub.com. They did another show last night, sold out. You can't get this kind of festival quality comedy just anywhere. Rumors is bringing it to you into your living room. The next show, next Friday, Christmas night. You're going to be sick of your family by the nighttime, so sit back with them or by yourself, kick up your feet, and laugh with some comedy brought to you by our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club.
This coming out, Drew, wanted to read this tweet because earlier in the show when we were talking about return to play protocols, Frank Saravelli put this out on Twitter about 50 minutes ago or so. All indications from NHL travel protocol drafts are that player movement in road cities will be very stringent. And this is, you know, kind of speaks to what we were talking about in terms of the staff and, you know, the people that are going to be around the team, not necessarily the team itself. Players and staff will be limited to the game rink, practice rink, or team hotel. That's it. No outside facilities, bars, restaurants, or shops, all meals in the team hotel. Language and protocol continues to change with further input from provincial health authorities. No guests in hotel rooms, no use of hotel gym, no housekeeping, assigned seats on buses and planes, in-flight catering eliminated where feasible, etc. It's all spelled out. So that maybe addresses some of the concerns in terms of you know, the other people that will interact with NHL players and NHL staff, it's going to be very stringent. Basically, when you go to a city to play, I mean, you stick to your hotel room. You don't interact with anybody else. You go to the rink. Mm-hmm. You practice. They're going to be tested, I imagine, with, you know, some form of rapid testing. So some good reporting there from Frank Saravelli. You got to think that those are some of the things that they're talking about, the NHL, that is, and NHLPA, with provincial health authorities. Because when you have players, you know, traveling from, you know, either if it's going to be, you know, from Eastern Canada or Western Canada, you got to think that, you know, the provincial health authorities are the most concerned with, you know, how many people those players are going to interact with and make sure that they're still following all the various, you know, provincial health protocols.
Sure, all the contact tracing, right, and things of that nature. And it certainly sounds like the NHL and the NHLPA have agreed that, you know, not that anyone's really going out to speak of, but that, you know, you get into a city, you go straight to your hotel room, and yep, you're basically, you know, I'm going to use the word quarantining in that hotel room for lack of a better word, but it is, to your point, that's how they're going to try and get the approval of the provincial health authorities, by keeping the bubble very tight, or as tight as possible. You know, we know that pending approval from the NHLPA and the NHL Board of Governors, that it is going to be a 56-game season coming up starting January 13th, ideally. And that, you know, it's going to be all within your division, and it's going to be, you know, basically, it's going to be a sprint. There's no exhibition games, Dave. You're going straight from training camp, which is going to begin on January 3rd for the Winnipeg Jets. Yep. I mean, these dates are all, you know, in pencil, not in pen.
Of course.
But you got 10 days, and then, boom, the puck is going to be dropped, and it's going to be a fascinating season. Now, you know, the asterisk, of course, is COVID and what happens if a player is out of a lineup and if somebody tests positive, and, you know, how that's going to, mm-hmm, impact, you know, the entire roster. But, you know, from my perspective, I always feel that 82 games is too long.
Yeah.
It's too much of a wear and tear on players' bodies. Mm-hmm. So this year with 56 games, I mean, admittedly, it's going to probably be a little rough at first as guys try and get used to it and not have any exhibition games,
yeah,
to get their hands underneath them. But, you know, after those first few games, I think it's going to be pretty entertaining hockey.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we don't know how condensed the schedule is going to be, right? Because, of course, the NHL probably, as they learned last year, don't want to be going too far into the summer, because they're just going to, you know, not have the base of people paying attention to the sport. And I just don't think you can afford to do that again. So I think you have to be aware of what you are, and you're a winter sport, and playing, you know, hockey in the summer, other than out of necessity, is not ideal. So I really think that, you know, that will play a factor, Drew, as to how condensed that schedule is going to end up looking, right? But yeah, I mean, I think it's a good point. I think, you know, it's going to be, to the point you're making about the sprint aspect, I think that'll be also really interesting, because in terms of using the taxi squad, mm-hmm, you know, and again, from a Jets perspective, whether that those guys are on the moose or in the taxi squad doesn't really make a difference, but that idea of having fresh guys ready to go and really giving, I actually think what it will do is it will force teams, you know, a guy like Paul Maurice, who maybe is a little loath to use younger players sometimes in his roster, to use those guys a little more frequently. So you may see guys like Gustafson, Vesalainen, Heinola, Sandberg,
yeah,
whereas he may have deferred to, you know, veterans traditionally, and I think that we may be able to see those guys a little bit more often in the NHL, simply because out of necessity, because you're, you know, and because you're maybe playing games back to back, or however it's going to look, right? We don't have an exact screenshot as to what it's going to look like, yeah, for the NHL. So I just think, like, there might be an interesting opportunity here for younger players to get more in the lineup, because you want to keep your lineup fresh, because even though these guys aren't going to be playing as many games, again, if it's condensed, there's still that risk of injury, and so you don't want to run it by running guys too quickly.
I'm the most looking forward to just the amount of games and the rivalries, yeah, that we're going to see, right? Like, just do the math. If there is an all-Canadian division, which, mm-hmm, I realize there's, you know, some talk that this might not happen, but I do believe this will happen, and they are going to work this out with provincial health authorities. I mean, you're going to see the Jets play each team 9 times.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't quite work out to 56, but that it's going to be 8 or 9 times that the Jets are going to play each Canadian team, right? So you're going to see, like, go back to the Jets and Flames, right? Like, the Jets and Flames do not like each other. I mean, these are, I believe, two of the top teams in Canada. I realized that, you know, the Flames, you know, maybe they took a step back with their defense, but they acquired Jacob Markstrom,
yeah,
who's, we believe, is one of the best goalies, and most people believe is one of the best goalies in the league. So the Jets and Flames, I mean, they both have aspirations. I mean, every Canadian team, maybe aside from the Senators, has aspirations of making the playoffs, right, guys? But I think you're going to see some, you know, great battles between the Jets and Flames. You're going to see some, you know, great battles between, you know, the Jets and the Leafs, the Habs. Like, well, that's what I'm looking forward to. And not just the Canadian teams, you know, Drew. That's kind of, I look at the schedule and yes, it's going to be, I think, tough on the players at times in a condensed schedule. Like, we know there isn't going to be an all-star game. You know, we know that there might not be as many of those mandatory breaks, right, Dave? But
yeah,
you know that there's going to be a lot of games. There's going to be, you know, lots of back-to-backs. But the rivalries, I think, like, let's get excited about what we're going to see on the ice. And we're going to see some really good hockey. And we're going to see, it's going to be, like Dave said, you know, several weeks back, it's going to be more like an AHL schedule, right? Well, lots of weekend games, playing the same teams, like, you know, the Moose against the Wolves, the, you know, the Moose against the, you know, the Toronto Marlies. Like, it's going to have that feel where you're going to get to see the same teams again and again. And I think, you know, it's unique, but it's going to be lots of fun.
Last word?
Yeah, no, I mean, I as you just took the point I was going to make, which is simply that this idea of, like they've talked about, you're not just going to go and play Calgary, then fly to Edmonton, fly to Vancouver. You're most likely going to play Calgary,
yeah,
and then play Calgary again. Again, a lot of guys, what is the number? 85% of guys have gone through the AHL. So the guys have done this before. It's something that folks who only pay attention to the NHL aren't used to. But like I said, for those of us who watch the AHL regularly, mm-hmm, this is something. And again, let me tell you something. Those Manitoba Moose games,
yep,
especially against the Chicago Wolves, who they played, they were scheduled to play 12 times last year. But those games, especially the second game, there's always that extra edge. So add the NHL element to it, I think it's going to be even greater.
When we come back, Craig Button is going to join us. Craig is TSN's Director of Scouting. The World Junior Hockey Championships, for better or worse, starts 1 week from today. We'll talk about everything going on in that bubble in Edmonton. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
TSN Director of Scouting Craig Button scheduled to join us momentarily. We'll bring Craig to you just as quickly as we can. Saturday morning, hour number 3. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuke with you. Mentioned the World Juniors. They're going to be starting officially with the first game a week from now, with a bit of a question mark on that. It's Canada supposed to play Germany. Germany's got some COVID troubles where they got a lot of guys in quarantine. So that is a little bit up in the air. Canada was also supposed to play Sweden in a pre-tournament game. Also Sweden with some COVID-related issues. So that's another question mark up in the air. It'll all get worked out, though. And don't worry if you aren't able to be in front of a TV watching the games on TSN. All of Canada's games, they're going to be here on TSN Radio 1290. So for your World Junior viewing, well, frankly, you really don't have anywhere else to be. You should be either at home or, you know, if you'd like to turn off the TV and you want to turn on the radio, you can do that as well. We got you covered for the World Junior Hockey Championship here on TSN Radio 1290.
Yeah, and you mentioned we're still waiting. Hopefully we'll get in touch with Craig Button here. But, you know, it was looking, you know, a little iffy there with Germany in terms of, you know, if they were even going to be able to continue in the tournament.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ryan Rashog reported earlier this week that, you know, Germany's going to be in quarantine until Christmas Eve. But that means, of course, that Germany's not going to be able to play in their pre-competition game. So right off the bat, I mean, Germany's obviously, you know, not a team that you expect.
They're not a powerhouse.
They're not a powerhouse,
yeah,
but, you know, they're still a competitive team, and they have Tim Stützle, Senators' first-round draft pick. So, you know, they've got some good players, but missing those pre-competition games, guys, is huge, right? When you have every other country that's going to get a couple of games under their belt. So, you know, it's nice that they're still going to be able to continue in the tournament. There's always the chance that, you know, some of these players, if they're not ready to go, because after you test positive for COVID, if you don't display any symptoms, yeah, you're going to be able to play, but there's always the chance that some of these players that have tested positive aren't going to be cleared.
It's definitely a bit of a bleep show, for lack of a better term. I don't know if you guys saw the debacle around the charter.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to talk about. Like that, people were tweeting out pictures of the planes, and it's always a little bit weird when people are like focusing on the planes, you know, as they fly, and they fly, they've landed here, but the actual players tweeting out photos, it was like, It was very crammed. It was like a tuna can.
Well, they didn't take, you would think, you know, it's 2020, so you think that, you could take a direct flight. I think they were coming from Helsinki, maybe, is where a number of the teams had gathered. And, I'm not an aviation expert by any stretch of the imagination, but you thought that, you could take a direct flight from Helsinki to Edmonton, and admittedly, it's a long flight. They had to fly to, I think they had to fly to three different places.
Gander.
Didn't they have to go to like Greenland first?
Because
they
Iceland.
They went to Iceland and then they went to Gander and then they went to Edmonton or something along those lines. And they went in a small plane. So, clearly, COVID is an issue, but for the IIHF who arranged the charter, money is more of an issue than anything else. And if I was a player or if I was a coach or if I was one of the teams that were stuck in that situation, I don't know how thrilled I would have been about that either. So it was, maybe off to a bit of a rocky start getting into Edmonton. Obviously, the testing has impacted Team Germany and Team Sweden, but hopefully, fingers crossed, there'll be some hockey and World Junior action that we can get into a week from now. And the pre-tournament games, of course, those are going to be on TSN Radio 1290 well.
Yeah, and you think about it, and if the IIHF Hockey Canada successfully pulls this off, it's going to be very similar to the bubble in Edmonton in the summer, right? Like, you're obviously going to have, players, they're already in Canada, but coming from all over the world. So it's different as opposed to the bubble, more players coming from North America, right? But it's the same situation in terms of, the logistics and the testing, and some of the hurdles that you have to run into. The big difference, guys, between, August and now is that COVID cases are much higher.
Right.
And in Alberta, specifically, I mean, remember what was happening in our province.
Yeah.
We didn't have any cases for 13 days back in the summer, right? So there's a little difference there. But, it's unfortunate that you've had, especially with Sweden and Germany. Like Sweden, the two cases, stand out because they're recent. But the entire coaching staff, and that's one thing, I wanted to ask Pascal when we had him on, but we didn't get a chance. Todd Woodcroft, and I'm not sure if there's a connection with the Swedish national program going back years, but there must be. But, you wonder if Todd Woodcroft's role is going to increase, because he obviously isn't going to be in Alberta, to my knowledge, because he's in Vermont.
Yeah.
But you wonder, if his role is going to increase because of the coaches that Sweden isn't going to have at their disposal, right, Dave? So there's a Winnipeg connection there with, Team Sweden. But, hopefully we don't see that many cases. And it looks like, with the quarantine for Team Canada at the very least, it looks like, the virus, isn't around. But, the way that virus has been circulating, specifically in Alberta, I think it would be naive to think that there might not be, a few COVID cases, but, they've taken care of it. And, it looks like, we've got hockey coming up tomorrow with a pre-competition game for Team Canada. So, it looks like the tournament is going to go forward, even though it looked pretty touch and feel there for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when the first testing results came back. I mean, you look at that Team Canada roster. And, the lines that they came out with and yesterday. And, they have Cole Perfetti playing on a line with Connor McMichael and Peyton Krebs. Perfetti on the wing there. I mean, it's a stacked roster. I mean, which is no surprise, of course, because this is Team Canada and this is the World Junior Hockey Championships. And who better to talk to about that than Craig Button? So let's go to the hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Craig Button, TSN's Director of Scouting, joins us on the line now. Craig, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Oh, yeah. No, my pleasure. Sorry for my little lag there. That was total user error on my part, so my apologies.
All good, Craig. We rely on user error. That's, in fact, what we might name our show instead of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's the User Error Hockey Show. But, Craig, we were talking about Team Canada. We were talking about the World Juniors, there's certainly been the COVID issues, as there are, all throughout society. We're a week out from the first game scheduled to be against Germany. Time will tell if that ends up changing at all. Did you always think we were going to get to this point where this tournament was going to launch, or did you think for a while there this tournament might have to fall by the wayside because of COVID?
Well, those are, I think number one, what I would say is the preparations by the IIHF, Hockey Canada, and the Edmonton Organizing Group have been tremendous and terrific, and they've worked with Alberta Health at every turn. So, when the NHL had their return to play in the summertime, they were working on best practices, the same collaboration and consultation. And, you know, they pulled it off flawlessly. And, you know, this is the same thing that is being followed here with the IIHF. And, you know, when you have a manual to go off of and you try and you follow it, then there's a little bit greater optimism that you can do exactly what the NHL did, and rightfully so. And, you know, when I talk about flawlessly, the NHL pulled it off flawlessly. Now, it's a little bit different with nine countries coming into Canada and, you know, the different time frames that they were dealing with. But, you know, I think that when COVID-19 starts to spread, and it's very different in the summertime than what we're facing now, not only in the world, but certainly in Canada, that, you know, you have to ask yourself the question, is it feasible? And to what level is it feasible? Because, you know, the pandemic has shown that it's relentless and it's unforgiving with respect to who and where and how quickly it can spread. So all those things being into place, I think you have to respect it. But I think that yesterday when we heard that, you know, eight German players had tested positive and then two staff members from Sweden had tested positive, you kind of raise an eyebrow. You go, okay, what does this mean? And what are the organizers? What are the health officials? How are they going to deal with this? But on the other side of it, you look at it and go, well, nobody else tested positive, so things are in control. Alberta Health now looks at it and says, okay, here's the protocols that we have to continue to follow and you have to have in place with respect to Germany. So now what we have to do is just continue to move along the path with the protocols. And I think with the amount of effort and the amount of collaboration that has been put into this, like, yeah, I have confidence that the tournament will start and will be completed. But, you know, you have to recognize and we've seen it in other sports. We saw it with the MLS. We've seen it with the NFL. We saw it with Major League Baseball, NBA to a lesser extent, that you're going to have to be a little bit nimble and you're going to have to be a little bit tolerant of things that might not go exactly the right way. Main thing here is, and this is, I think, the main focus of everybody, just ensure that health and minimizing the risk to everybody to the greatest extent possible is the number one goal here. So that remains the number one goal. Everybody's doing it. And, you know, that allows everybody to have confidence that the World Junior Championship can continue. But if that first part gets compromised, then, you know, everything has to be considered to come off the table.
Well, Craig, thank God that we're going to actually have some games on the ice to talk about starting tomorrow. We've got pre-competition games. You got U.S. versus Switzerland, and then Finland.
Actually, let me interrupt you there. It's going to be announced today that the pre-competition games are probably not going to happen on Sunday or Monday. They do not.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
They're waiting for an official statement to come out. You know, okay, they are scheduled for Sunday and Monday, but with Germany, you know, Germany is in quarantine until December 24th.
Christmas
they were scheduled
Eve.
To play a
yeah,
game
yeah.
on. They were scheduled to play a game on Monday versus Austria. Well, we already know that game can't happen, right? So, you know, they're working on scheduling contingencies is what I would tell you, right? So, you know,
okay,
what is out with the schedule right now is now being revamped. So just keep that in mind as we talk about the beginning of the pre-tournament competition.
And Craig, thanks for letting us know about that, because I know that our listeners are definitely going to, you know, want to hear that and know about that. And, you know, regardless, you know, when those pre-competition games start, you know, it could be Tuesday, could be Wednesday. And you've covered, you know, the World Junior Tournament for so many years, considering that, especially with Team Canada and the quarantine that we saw, you know, in Red Deer, is, in your opinion, are these pre-competition games going to take even on more importance, considering that, you know, Canada missed out on those games versus the U Sports All-Stars, you know, and they missed out on all that practice time. Like, what are your opinions on these pre-competition games? They don't mean anything in terms of, you know, the standings, but, you know, are the coaching staff and players most likely going to, you know, place a little bit more importance considering everything that's been going on this year?
Well, yeah, I think that number one is that all countries are in the same position, right? Like, nobody's going to have more games rather than less. I mean, with the exception right now, depending on what is determined with Germany, but that's just the way it is. But, you know, for Canada and the other countries, you know, they've spent a lot of time together, not just this year, but in previous years. And, you know, spending time with this group of players, you know, Hockey Canada U17, Hlinka Gretzky, you know, the preparations that go in, you know, over many years to not only help the players, you know, feel comfortable in competing at this level, but in also understanding, you know, what it means. So I think that, you know, you want to have more games. You want to find that chemistry. You want to find that symmetry within your group. Coaches, Andre Tournier, the head coach, says, yeah, we as coaches, we want more time, not less. But I think that, you know, the understanding that the coaches have of the competition, the knowledge they have of their own group and their own players, and the players knowing what the expectations are and understanding what they're going up against. Yeah, they would like more games, but they're not going to have that opportunity. And keep this in mind, is that the tournament starts with group play on December 25th. Ultimately, what everybody's trying to do is build your game through those four games so that when the quarterfinals begin on January 2nd, that your game is in order. And I think that that is the key thing for these teams. So there's not anything detrimental, you know, by losing your first game or losing your second game, as long as you're building. And we saw that with Canada last year. Canada, you know, loses to or beats the USA, then they get walloped by Russia, and you think the sky is falling, but then they win their next five games, and away they go to the gold medal. That's what it's about. I think if there's any, like, you know, and I look specifically here at Czech Republic and Slovakia, they brought some extra players over here that they are going to have to release when they submit their final rosters. Those coaches, some of those players, coaches not having the opportunity to evaluate the full group over a longer period of time, those players not having the opportunity to play, they're severely penalized. And that's where it hurts. But Canada, United States, Finland, Russia, Sweden, their rosters are set. So, you know, it's now just a matter of getting your feet wet in the competition and getting ready for January 2nd, in my view.
Craig Button is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Craig is TSN's Director of Scouting. He joins us to talk about the World Junior Hockey Championships.
You know, Craig, we're a Winnipeg-based show, which means we have an obligation to ask about Jets prospects playing in the World Juniors, and they've got three, with Cole Perfetti playing for Team Canada, Ville Heinola, and Henry Nikkanen playing for Team Finland. So what kind of assessment do you have for these guys? And you know, you talked about in your last answer about the idea of teams building, but this is all really an opportunity for these individual players to build, to make a case for their chance to stay with the Winnipeg Jets, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, you're always trying to show that you're moving along in your development and your progress is demonstrating that you're capable and, you know, worthy of earning a spot on the Winnipeg Jets. Ville Heinola, this is going to be his third World Junior tournament. He was a member of the gold medal winning team in Vancouver in 2019. He got hurt. He didn't play the last two games, but he was still a real good player as a 17-year-old on that team. Last year, he was terrific in the tournament for Finland. He was a Mr. Everything for that Finnish blue line. And he's going to be a little bit more of Mr. Everything for the Finnish blue line this year. I mean, he's calm. He's poised. There's no situation in the game that he can't handle. Exceptional hockey sense and feel for the game. So, you know, Winnipeg Jets fans got a view of him early on last year in the season before he went back to Finland. And I really believe that he's going to serve notice that he could be a full-time member of the Winnipeg Jets this year. And, you know, he's a promising prospect that if it's not this year, there's no question he's going to, in my view, he's going to be a long-time NHL player and a very good one at that. Cole Perfetti, you know, their first-round pick this year. I mean, Cole, I've watched Cole since he was 14 years of age. And, you know, Cole never ceases to impress me and in this regard. It doesn't matter who he's playing against, what he's up against, if he's against older players or he's being blanketed and checking or whatnot. Cole just always finds a way to be productive. You know, his hockey sense is off the charts in my view. I think he thinks the game on a complete different level than most players. And because of that, you don't have to be the fastest player or the biggest player or the most dazzling player, because Cole just finds a way to be one of the most productive players. And you pick up your head and you go, oh, there it is. There's Cole again. Oh, Cole's got the puck. Oh, Cole's finishing. And the other thing about Cole is he's not a one-trick pony. That's what I love about him the most. Is like if a play requires him to make a pass, he'll do that. If a play requires him to shoot, he'll shoot. If it requires him getting open to be a decoy and it opens up for somebody else, he'll do that. His mind, his brilliance with his mind playing the game just sets him apart in so many different ways. And, you know, you look at the talented forwards that the Winnipeg Jets have, and boy, what a seamless fit he'll be with that group. And let me tell you this, they're going to love playing with him too, because he knows, again, when I talk about being productive, he knows how to do that. Henry Nikkanen, I think you're hopeful that he can become a player, perhaps maybe in the mold. I certainly don't think he is at this level yet, but maybe in the mold of Adam Lowry, you know, a player that can, you know, give you a little bit of offense, you know, really, you know, push your play in competitive body on body areas and whatnot. But he's not there yet. I mean, he's in the development phase, and he's got development ahead of him for him to be considered a player ready to come in and challenge for a spot on the Winnipeg Jets. But that's the type of player he is, and certainly you need all kinds of different players to form a good team.
Craig Button is TSN's Director of Scouting. The World Junior Hockey Championship gets underway 1 week from today. Canada scheduled to play Germany in their first game. Craig breaking the news earlier in the interview that the pre-tournament schedule is all going to get juggled around as teams try and deal with entering the bubble in Edmonton and resolving any COVID-related issues. Craig, appreciate your time, appreciate your insight. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, and happy holidays to you and yours.
Yeah, well, same to you guys, too. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Craig. Thanks so much. When we come back, much more on the NHL, much more on the World Junior Hockey Championships. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We'll also take a look at the Bodog scoreboard on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290. Let's take a look at the Bodog.net scoreboard. This is a Saturday of sports unlike any other that you're ever going to find on the calendar year. TSN is your home for everything. Just keep it locked to TSN TV. Coming up here on the station later on this afternoon, we have a doubleheader of NFL football action for you. The Bills are into Denver to face the Broncos, and then the nightcap. It'll be a frigid scene. Well, there won't be anybody there, but it'll still be frigid in Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin, as the Carolina Panthers head in to face the Packers in an NFC battle. Here's a quick rundown of all the different sporting events that are going on today. This is just a quick rundown. College basketball, Indiana against Butler. College basketball, number 1 Gonzaga against number 3 Iowa. College basketball, number 23 Louisville against number 12 Wisconsin. The Big 12 championship, this is college football, Iowa State against Oklahoma. The Big 10 championship, college football, Ohio State against Northwestern. College football, Texas A&M against Tennessee. I think that one's on TSN right now. College basketball, North Carolina against my Kentucky Wildcats. Ole Miss at Dayton in college basketball. The ACC championship college football, number 2 Notre Dame against number 3 Clemson. We mentioned the Bills and the Broncos. Another college basketball game, Ohio State against UCLA. The SEC Championship later on this evening, number one Alabama against number seven Florida. And then the AAC Championship, number nine Cincinnati against number 23 Tulsa. And then the nightcap of it all, Carolina at Green Bay. It is a sports fan's dream. All day today on TSN and on TSN Radio 1290. That is the Bodog.net scoreboard, brought to you, of course, by Bodog.net. Head to Bodog for sports odds, poker strategy, and free-to-play casino games. Bodog.net, make a play. When we come back from the Minneapolis Star Tribune, normally to talk about the Jets, or typically the Jets Central Division rival, not this year, but Sarah McClellan is going to join us to talk about the Minnesota Wild. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Bottom of the hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuke with you. You can reach us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can reach us via text message. Send your text to 129090. And of course, our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio, that's available at illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From the Minneapolis Star Tribune, we're pleased to welcome back to the program our good friend Sarah McClellan. Sarah, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Our pleasure, Sarah. Obviously, always enjoy speaking with you. It's sort of hard to believe that as we sit here, you know, normally, in a normal season, December 20th, yeah, you might be talking about injuries and you might be talking about a team getting bit by the injury bug, but the Minnesota Wild have managed to do that in the off season with no games being played. The latest to go down is Alex Stalock. He's out long term, which necessitated the signing of Andrew Hammond to a contract. I guess, you know, between the Stalock injury and the injury to Matt Zuccarello, you know, how is that disrupting the Wild off season?
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of unusual that, you know, the hits are coming before, you know, training camp has even started, and really before we have a concrete season plan for next season. So you're right. Matt Zuccarello was the first to go down. We heard a few weeks ago that he had surgery on his arm and he's not going to be ready for the start of training camp. And really a timeline for his return is up in the air. So first of all, you lose, you know, someone who can play on the right wing, which is a position that is kind of scarce for this roster to begin with, in your top nine. So that's a tough hole, but it opens up obviously competition internally for someone to fill that. And then, you know, to hear this week that Alex Stalock will be out, you know, for an indeterminate amount of time, which doesn't sound good, not knowing, you know, the severity of how long his absence could be with an upper body injury. The Wild obviously moved quickly to kind of shore up that position, like you said, signing Andrew Hammond. But it certainly opens the door for youngster Kaapo Kähkönen to kind of slide in and be that number two backup goalie behind Cam Talbot, who the team obviously signed in the offseason as a free agent to be its new number one after trading Devin Dubnyk. So kind of a lot of moving parts so far in a bizarre offseason, just because of, you know, the way that the calendar's been pushed back and there's uncertainty for next season. But to not start at full strength, I think, obviously, with a team that was already, you know, in flux, a lot of new faces, a lot of comings and goings. So I think there was already going to be, you know, even more emphasis on the value of this training camp to get everybody in, get everybody acquainted. But then to have kind of a couple holes at some key positions, it's tough news for this team. But, you know, it's just obviously, like you said, the name of the game, whether it's December in a normal season or an unusual kind of waiting game like we are now, injuries happen. And, you know, how they kind of overcome them, it might, you know, really set the tone for how this team starts next season, whenever it starts.
Sarah, I wanted to ask you about Kirill Kaprizov, because, of course, the World Juniors coming up, they start on Christmas Day. Canada's scheduled to play Russia in a pre-tournament game, even though we just found out that, you know, those pre-tournament games are not going to be played this coming Sunday and Monday. So we assume that Canada is still going to play Russia, but, you know, Kaprizov, of course, was a standout for Russia. I believe it was this 2017 World Juniors, and he also, you know, has won a gold with the Olympic athletes from Russia. And, you know, I know you've written about Kaprizov, and the Wild fans, I think you know this by now, are more familiar with this than anybody, but, you know, Kaprizov is a prospect that Wild fans are very excited about. And the question I wanted to ask you about Kaprizov is, what are realistic expectations? We know that he's been a very good player over in the Continental Hockey League, but do you think expectations are realistic for him? Because I think a lot of Wild fans are expecting, you know, him to step right in and start producing in a top six role.
You're right. I think the hype that has just been following this player for the years since he was drafted, and to see what he did internationally, like you said, with his time with the Russian team, what he's done in the KHL, I think undoubtedly it created kind of like this aura that he's going to come in and be this offensive savior for this franchise and be this, you know, that type of player who can make an impact offensively like this team maybe has never seen or hasn't seen since the days of Marian Gaborik. I think, though, you know, maybe that's what the fans are thinking. I think internally the organization has been, you know, very clear and kind of tempering that or softening that, because I think they realize the fact is that he's never played in the NHL before. And not only that, is he's coming to a completely new country, state situation. He does speak some English, but I think, you know, even just getting over that part and the communication and, you know, getting more comfortable in conversing with his teammates and the staff, like, there are a lot of hurdles to clear. And, oh, he's doing this in the middle of a global pandemic. So I think the organization has been very careful to, you know, not only put expectations on what will be expected of him, but just helping him along this process. But, I mean, you can see, too, I think for him, the eagerness to want to come in and be that type of player, be someone the organization can count on. He obviously came for a visit in the summer, you know, to kind of check things out. He's already in Minnesota. He's been skating with teammates at their practice rink. The team is going to help him find a place to live. So he's kind of obviously showing, you know, by making these moves, coming there when we still didn't really know the parameters of next season, how committed he is and how he wants to fit in. And so time will tell, obviously, how that translates on the ice, but I think the skill set is there for him to make an impact. And, you know, maybe it's seen in this shortened, different season, maybe not, but I think there is a lot of hope, and rightfully so, that he can become someone who helps this team long-term and gives them that boost and kind of that pizzazz that, you know, we aren't always seeing with this team historically. It's usually been a defensive-minded team, and he's somebody new, and I think that's why there's a lot of excitement around him.
Well, you know, Sarah, speaking of excitement around prospects, you know, one of the side benefits to not having NHL hockey to watch is we've either been watching what prospects have been doing overseas and more recently over in college. And there's one Minnesota Wild draft pick that you wrote about, Matthew Boldy. He's the 2019 12th overall pick for Minnesota. How much excitement is there with him and you know, his development as a prospect?
I think it's grown. You know, I think just in time, as he's kind of acclimated more to the college game, to now seeing, you know, he's getting this opportunity with the World Juniors team with the U.S., I think the intrigue and the optimism has just spiked. And I say that because that first year after getting drafted, like you said, in 2019, I don't think it was a picture-perfect kind of encore that maybe you'd expect for a first-round pick. He went to Boston College, and it didn't click right away. You know, I think the first half was kind of a struggle for him offensively. I think he felt he was around the puck, but it just wasn't translating into the numbers that you'd expect of a player of that pedigree. In time, the second half, he really turned it on as a freshman, and before the pandemic shut everything down, he looked like he found his game. I think what's really encouraging for the Wild and those that are watching his development is that he seemed to pick up, you know, where he left off when his college season picked back up. This year, and, you know, he was one of the top performers in the country, you know, in NCAA hockey before he left to obviously go participate in the World Juniors with Team USA. So I think he's another player that it's very intriguing to see his development. Again, another player that has those offensive chops that this is a team that can use that in this age bracket, too. Like, you know, in this up-and-coming, you know, for the future, who looks like, you know, he can make plays on the wing, he can drive the action from there. I think that's very important when you kind of look at this next life cycle for this franchise, because even though, you know, there's been a lot of maneuvering, this is still a very veteran squad, and, you know, they're going to have Kaprizov in the mix this season, and, you know, maybe Marco Rossi, their most recent first-round pick, gets a look. Kevin Fiala is still pretty young, but, you know, this core is still very much veteran, and I think that brings a lot of hope for the future that, you know, at some point there's these young players coming that have this skill set that, frankly, you need in today's NHL, and I think Boldy totally fits into that category.
Sarah McClellan is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. Sarah covers the Minnesota Wild, easy for me to say, for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. You know, Sarah, in the offseason, general manager Bill Guerin went out and, you know, one of his big free agent signings was goaltender Cam Talbot, ex of the Calgary Flames. This is a guy who's bounced around a little bit the last number of years. He had that lengthy stint with Edmonton, then went to Philly, then back to Calgary. You know, the numbers weren't bad last year. So, I you know, Talbot is certainly an NHL-caliber goaltender. But why is he good enough to elevate the Wild goaltending to the level that they'll need for the team to be, you know, a great success this season?
You know what, I think they really see how he can perform and how he's played and what he's done when he's kind of been at the top of his game, whether it's been in, you know, most recently the playoffs for Calgary, when he had that really strong season in Edmonton, when he was kind of breaking out under Henrik Lundqvist in New York. I think they see that level of play and having that behind this Wild defense. And I think it's safe to say he hasn't played in front of defense of this caliber yet in his career. I'm talking Ryan Suter, Jared Spurgeon, Matt Dumba, Jonas Brodin. That is a rock solid top four, I think, for any team in the NHL. I don't think that's, you know, speaking, you know, to say that this isn't, you know, an unfair assessment. That's a solid top four. And so I think they see if he can do what he's done in Calgary and when he's been on a roll in Edmonton, I think they see that him giving this team the net mining that they need to compete in whichever division they go, whichever the division, you know, looks. But I think typically we're like, you know, we're grading against the Central, the normal Central, the Winnipegs, the St. Louis's, the Nashville's, the Chicago's. I think they see themselves as, you know, a competitive team then. If he can play how he has, which has been steady, and just having that type of structure in front of him, a team that doesn't give up much, that is very stingy from the inside, kind of limiting those high danger quality chances. I think they think it could be a perfect match. And if so, it could be a perfect kind of solution to kind of welcome this new era in Wild goaltending, because for so long it's been Devin Dubnyk and he's kind of been synonymous with this team in net. And now it's someone new. He got a 3-year deal. I think they're hoping kind of the synergy between this Wild defense and Cam Talbot when he's been at the top of his game could be a perfect match for this team to contend in, like I said, what is usually normally a very rigorous Central Division.
Sarah, last question for you here. We wanted to ask you, you know, when Team Canada was going through their quarantine period after you had some positive COVID tests, we were wondering, did Hockey Canada reach out to you? Did you have a lot of players and staff reaching out to you based on your experience in Edmonton with your 14-day quarantine?
No, they didn't, but I could have offered them quite the handbook on how to navigate quarantine. Obviously, it sounds like theirs was an abbreviated one, considering I was there for 14 days, but it totally brought back flashbacks to hear about, you know, the team quarantining this week. And like I said, Marco Rossi, a Wild prospect, is there for Team Austria, and I talked to him this week, and he was only on day two, and he was just saying how boring it was, and I was, day two, imagine day 12. And, you know, I just could totally relate. He's like, I'm trying to find Netflix and I'm trying to find shows and doing workouts in the hotel. I was like, I remember those days. I remember that. So it was kind of, yeah, a funny throwback to think that that was me, you know, I guess only a handful of months ago. And now they're doing it again in Edmonton. So it's funny how that works.
Yeah, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Isn't
exactly.
That right, Sarah? Sarah McClellan covers the Minnesota Wild for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Sarah, appreciate your time and insight this morning. Thanks so much for joining us, and all the best on the holiday season to you and yours.
Yeah, take care. Happy holidays, guys.
Take care, Sarah.
You too,
thanks
Sarah.
So much. When we come back, we look around the NHL, some news and notes, talk about Alex Steen, talk about Henrik Lundqvist, things of that nature, much more to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Hey, Caps fans. Today is a pretty tough and emotional day for me. For several weeks now, I've been undergoing different types of tests related to a heart condition. And after lots of discussions with doctors around the country and finally receiving the last results earlier this week, I unfortunately won't be able to join the team this year.
You know, that's just not the way it should work. That's Henrik Lundqvist, you know, who spent so many years as King Henrik and on Broadway in New York and, you know, the backbone of the New York Rangers for so many years. And, you know, his time was up in New York, so he goes to Washington, where he's going to be the mentor for Ilya Samsonov, their young goaltender. And then all of a sudden, the rug gets pulled out from underneath him as he has this heart ailment and he's, as a result, not going to be able to play this season. Doesn't announce his retirement. So, right. You know, they're still holding out hope that maybe he could come back after, you know, next year and, you know, if he's able to get this under control. And we wish nothing but best of health and good health for Henrik Lundqvist, but it just shouldn't end this way for a guy who's been the epitome of class and the epitome of sort of, you know, one of the best goaltenders of his era.
He's the best Swedish goalie of all time. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
there's no doubt he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And you're right, Drew. We obviously, you know, hope that he's healthy first and foremost, but, you know, you just hope that that's not how his career ends. And, you know, because he's 38 years old, yeah. Born in the same year as me, you know, even though I've accomplished
and that's where
a
the similarities end, folks, let me tell you.
Yeah, but we both are, you know, just as equally good looking.
I was
right?
going to say, so. One guy is a male model.
Well, as he's got some
yeah. The one guy wears $4,000 suits, the other guy wears $4 suits, but, yeah, it's just, you know, unfortunate news. None of us were expecting that, right? Because it was such a good story. Washington just seemed to be such a good fit for him as well. Because like you mentioned, you know, he's going to work with an up and coming young goalie, mentor him, and also just play with a team, you know, that's still very good. I don't care what anybody else says. You know, I would be, you know, very surprised if Washington wasn't at the very least a playoff team.
Sure.
As long as you have, you know, Ovechkin, Backstrom, Kuznetsov and Oshie and Carlson,
yeah.
You know, you're going to be a very good team. So, yeah, just unfortunate news. And, you know, we hope that, you know, he is able to come back and play in the NHL, you know, for the 21-22 season. But just first and foremost, like I said, very scary. And with a heart condition, you know, that's something that you don't mess around with. So, like you said, just a very classy guy, someone who's had just a remarkable NHL and international career. And, yeah, there's not much else you can say, Drew, just bad news. And it's good that he, you know, he is healthy and he's looking after himself.
Yeah, bad news for Henrik on a personal note, bad news for the Washington Capitals in terms of their team as well, yeah. Because, you know, when you have a young goaltender, as they do, and he was going to be their number one goaltender, Samsonov was or is, you need that mentor. You need that guy who can, you know, help him through the ups and downs of a NHL season, mm-hmm. especially a season like this one, which is going to be so uncertain.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden the Capitals are probably going to be in the market for a veteran backup. You have to think a guy like, you know, is it going to be, I mean, you know, Craig Anderson, you know, there's some free agents.
Corey Schneider,
but Schneider's yep. got injury troubles himself, of course. So, you know, you wonder where they're going to look for that goaltending. Jimmy Howard, he's still out there. I mean, none of them are what I'll describe as great options, but you wonder what the Capitals, I'm sure, are going to be left scrambling
yeah.
To deal with that issue. Other injury-related news, and this one is a career-ender. There was no question about this one. That's for Alex Steen, who we know, of course, from the St. Louis Blues.
Yep.
He announced his retirement. He's not officially going to file his retirement papers. He's going to go on LTIR.
Yeah. And he'll still get his salary. And,
yeah.
and like you said, St. Louis will be able to clear that money off the books.
And they need it because they're yep. over the salary cap yep. and they don't have Vince Dunn signed to yep. a contract yet. So this actually does, yep. You know, obviously they don't want it to end this way, but it works out for the St. Louis Blues benefit. Steen going to be forced to retire, degenerative back condition.
Yep.
He knew that his back was bad and had been bothersome for a while now. And it's going to result in his career ending. And, you know, another guy, another Swedish hockey player, apparently bad injury. Injury news for Swedish hockey players this week. Another guy, great career, Alex
yep.
Steen. Got
yep.
to raise the cup, of course, a couple years ago.
Yep.
And we wish him nothing but the best for how that's going to work.
Grew up here in River Heights. Like, he played, you know, the River Heights Cardinals, right? Like, and then he went and played in the Swedish Junior Leagues.
I remember watching him as a kid.
Yeah, and and I mean, you know, he plays in his 1,000th game in Winnipeg, you know, yeah. Wins the Stanley Cup in his second last year. So, I mean, Alex Steen, there isn't anything that he didn't accomplish in his NHL career, and we wish him the best in retirement, whatever comes next. But what just stands out to me is, you know, such a complete player, a guy that, you know, kind of switched his game. You know, he was a guy that, you know, was a little bit more offensive. And then, you know, as his career progressed, he got a little bit older on that St. Louis team. He played a little bit more of a depth role, but what a good hockey player, you know, good person. Got a chance to, you know, meet him and interview him a couple times over the years. I think we've had him on the show a couple of times as well. So, you know, unfortunate news that he's not able to play, you know, at least one more year in the NHL, but, you know, he accomplished so much and had such a good long NHL career. Two Steens now have gone through the NHL and had great careers. So, again, just wish him the best.
I guess we're looking forward to the next generation of Steens to do that.
Yeah, it'll be a little while before that happens, but it's true. You know, something to be said for genetics and how it pertains to athletes and, you know, fathers following sons and, you know, daughters following fathers and mothers in their skill set. And it is sort of incredible to watch. And of course, this is sort of been a downer of a final segment for 2020. Have to pay our respects and you know, to former Avalanche general manager Pierre Lacroix. You know, he led the Avalanche to that extended period of success for so many years. Mm-hmm. The Stanley Cups, of course, he passes away from COVID complications at 72 years of age. And that's, again, another tragedy. You know, this is a guy who was a character. And you know, you saw all the tributes coming out to him, you know, throughout the course of the week from people who knew him in the hockey world. And it sounds like he was sort of a larger-than-life personality. And look at the success he had with the Avalanche.
Yep.
Incredible success. Leading them to, you know, so many division titles and the Stanley Cups and acquiring Patrick Roy and everything else. On that note, this is our final show for 2020. We're going to be off next week. That's Boxing Day. We will be back right after the new year, January the 2nd.
Just in time for training camp.
Just in time for training camp, exactly. We from Ezra and from Dave and from myself, we want to wish you, our audience, our loyal listeners, nothing but the best this holiday season. It's going to be a different one than usual, and we're not going to be able to do the things that we normally want to do. But please stay safe. You know, stay close to your loved ones. Make the best out of a lousy situation. It hasn't been the best year. That's certainly the case. Hopefully 2021 will be better. So on behalf of Ezra Ginsberg, on behalf of Dave Minuk, on behalf of Sean Assor, doing a great job back at the studio, from the Illegal Curve family to you and your family, all the best this holiday season. Stay safe. Thanks for listening. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio. 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.